Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Today is Tuesday, and we got a great show for you today. This is Mike from ProThink.org. We have a guest with us today that's going to tell you an unbelievable but very real story that has been 40 years in the making and still to this day has not received any kind of justice for this event. And what we're going to do is let him kind of describe the story of this and kind of give you guys a feeling of how this event could have still to this day not been brought out. And we are going to bring right now is John Horankowski. Hope I didn't butcher your name there, John. No, how are you doing?
No, you did very good, Mike. Very good. Rankowski, John Rankowski, right.
John Rankowski. We talked over a couple times over last week getting this interview set up, and I was quite interested to see some of the things you were telling me. Like, for instance, we had a memorial library just about a half hour from my house, and knowing from what I know of this incident, I would have never have thought that this could have ever even happened, that they would have been, you know, because obviously the stuff that goes on in this country with this incident has been just swept under the rug at every possible moment. But we'll get into that whole incident a little later.
Okay.
What I wanted to do, though, is have you basically start off from scratch.
Okay.
Of the whole deal. I'll let you kind of just explain in your own words what happened out there on this day on June
8th, 1967. Okie doke. It started, actually, we knew we were going into sort of a hot zone. We knew there was fighting going on. Of course, we were a communication ship. And we sailed into about 13 and a half miles off the coast of the Gaza on the morning of the 8th, and I guess actually the night before, we had visits from Israeli fighters that flew overhead, and supposedly they had warned our fleet that they knew who we were coming in, and if we came much closer, I think we were about 100 miles away from them, that they were actually going to bomb us. So that was actually said the night before, but we never found this out till many years later. Coming the next day, June 8th, we are at like 5 o'clock in the morning. We're pulling on station about 13 and a half miles off the coast of the Gaza, and planes start coming overhead really, really low, and we could see Star David on them, so we're not in any trouble. They're friends. And throughout the day, probably around 12, 13 passes from these fighters, looking around, checking us out, waving at us. And finally, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we go to a drill. You know, and we're sailing 5 knots. Back and forth across the Gaza there, and we go to a drill. We drill every day for general quarters, just to make sure that we're sharp and make sure that we can handle the engines and handle a ship and under any kind of emergency. So we go through that fine, and just as we're ready to secure, about an hour later at 2 o'clock. Two planes come from forward, and they come in shooting. Rockets are coming in, and cannon fire is coming in right after the rockets, and they're blasting the ship like crazy.
At this point, did you know that they were Israeli fighters, or?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, there were no markings on them.
Ah.
So they had passed over, and they kept turning around, coming back and forth for probably around anywhere 15, 20 minutes, and really pulverizing and killing everybody that they could up topside, or wounding everybody they could up topside, and trying to put the ship out of commission. I was topside on the first pass and got knocked down and got back to my feet and went down to my space, which was in the engine room and in the boiler room. And we started to light off the one boiler. There was two boilers on that ship, and one boiler was down. We started lighting off the second boiler that needed to be lit off so we can get some steam and get the hell out of there. So the captain topside called for flank speed as much as we could give him, and we went and did what we could to make steam out of that second boiler. And all this time going on, these planes are attacking the hell out of us. And there was a lull, probably around a 10-12 minute lull, and two slower planes came in. Could have been four, but we know at least two were attacking. And these planes hit us with rockets, also iron bombs, cannon fire, and they dropped three canisters of napalm on us. And I mean, they started fires all over the place. Guys were just getting pulverized. I mean, the shots were, these armor-piercing shells were coming through the ship like it was Swiss cheese, and they were bouncing all over the place. It was crazy. They knocked our generators off the line, and the ship went dead, and it was just chaos. It was a controlled chaos because we had been through this on so many drills, and everybody actually did what they were supposed to do. And they stopped after about 20, 25 minutes. And then right after that, up comes the torpedo boats. And they come full force, and they start circling the ship, and they start hitting all over the place with their cannon fire, small arms fire. Then they back off and they start shooting torpedoes at us, and we didn't believe it. Captain got on the 1MC, which is the sound around the ship, and says, "Prepare for a torpedo attack starboard side." And we thought that he was kidding, you know, or somebody was kidding, but first four go right straight past us. He did some maneuvering to turn the ship, and these guys are evidently lousy shots. I guess it was the fifth one that they shot came and hit us midships. And they lifted that ship, that many 100-ton ship, out of the water, put it back down, and we started to list to the starboard side.
So let me draw a picture here, because this whole incident right here at this point is, you're on a ship, you guys think you're safe, everything's going good, it's a beautiful day. Our ally at this point had already identified the ship
as
being an intelligence. You guys had no armament. What did you have, 450 cal guns, and that was it, right?
That's it, and some small arm fire.
A small arm. So this ship wouldn't have been threatening no matter what in the first place, not to mention the fact that it had been recognized as an American ship, which was an obvious ally at that point. And
they knew who we were.
And so you guys are sitting out there on this ship getting riddled with bullets. This must have been an absolutely horrifying event. I mean,
couldn't believe it. Didn't actually know who it was from because there were no markings on the ships, on the planes. But there were markings on the torpedo boats that came in.
Ah.
So by that time, our guys knew that the Israelis were hitting us, and you know, you put two and two together, and you got to figure the other the planes in that were Israeli also. And these guys, to finish us off, we only had like three lifeboats left, and they put them in the water, and we got the word to abandon ship, and we started coming up topside. And as guys were coming up, they were picking people off with their small arms fire. And they went over to the life rafts, and they shot them up, which is against the Geneva Convention. They swear on a stack of Bibles that they didn't, but we were there, we've seen him do it. You know, we have people that try to testify at the Court of Inquiry. Lieutenant Lloyd Painter, he tried to testify, and he did testify, but they didn't put it in the Court of Inquiry. They stopped taking notes when he was testifying.
Well, we've had that happen in other investigations.
It's amazing. We had no idea. We thought for sure, but that goes on to another part of the story. But these people wanted this ship down for whatever reason, and the only reason I could think is have the United States go over there and bomb Cairo, and they supposedly were, because there were planes that were sent. Let me get back to as far as planes that were sent. During 9 minutes into this attack, we got a word out to the 6th Fleet that was less than 400 miles away from us. And the Saratoga and the two aircraft carriers, Saratoga and the America, launched planes to us to help us.
Now, wasn't it true also, too, that these people were blocking the signals from the ship? They had ran a frequency
jamming? Oh, yes. They were jamming our radar, and we could get nothing out. So one of our guys actually went, climbed during all this attack, Terry Halbardier. God bless him. He's still alive, too. He went and strung a wire on one of the antennas, and within that first 9 minutes, and went down and authenticated to the 6th Fleet, we're getting attacked. This is USS Liberty, and they couldn't jam that damn thing.
Wow.
So that was not part of, but everything else they jammed.
So they knew ahead of time what frequencies they had to jam, and that was the reason why you were able to get one rogue frequency out there.
You betcha. You betcha.
So you got another case of premeditated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's there. You know, we were there. We seen it, and God, you can't tell us that they're that ignorant. They're not stupid. They're smart people, for God's sake.
Yes, yeah.
But so we got the word out, and by lo and behold, we find out later, you know, we figured that 6th Fleet's coming. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming, and nothing.
You guys are thinking at this point, man, these guys are in trouble too, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It's a half hour. I says, oh, my God. You know, we're all saying, don't worry, these bastards will get theirs. Half hour goes by, nothing, nothing, nothing. And little did we know that it was President Johnson and McNamara that called all the planes back there. I guess there were like three different launches from the carriers. And Johnson and McNamara called them back.
Because at first point they called the planes out because they McNamara and Limitzer or McNamara and Lyndon B. Johnson thought at that time didn't know any better and thought that there was going to be Egypt or another foreign enemy, not Israel. So they were calling for an immediate retaliation. Correct.
Right, and they were going to send a bomb over to Cairo. They were Cairo was going to be nothing. That's what they had thought, and I guess that's what Israel wanted them to think. And sinking us would have, you know, and nobody to tell, who's going to believe? There's a war going on, somebody got crazy, some Arab got crazy, and went and sank the Liberty, and how are you going to prove it, you know? But that's besides the point.
Yeah.
they couldn't sink us. We held together. They killed, the wind-up was they killed 34 my shipmates, and they wounded 174 of us out of a crew of 293. So 85% were either dead or wounded, but yet we stood at our stations, and we made sure that that ship went through and did what she was supposed to do and did what she could do.
Well, I got to commend you guys, man. I got to commend you guys for doing an excellent, excellent, heroic job. I mean, I'm sure you guys have been told this, man, but you guys are some real American heroes to be able to hold that ship down like that.
We've been told, and it really brings a chill to me, but I would love to hear our elected officials recognize this, recognize that, and listen to us, take our statements like we never were able to do, and really get to the crux of this story. And this is 40 years going on, and there's been people that have written against us, telling that we're liars, telling that we can't remember. I mean, just making the public, you know, put doubt in the public's mind. But the public's not stupid. They know.
Yeah.
They know what we're saying is gospel. You can't embellish something like this because, you know, this is a country. This is not your next-door neighbor. This is not the crook on the block. This is a country that always seems to be fighting for its life, and they did a very bad thing.
And not only that, but you guys have quotes from high up officials that were in the government at the time that
yes.
had quoted to say that they believed this to be a deliberate attack. Now, for my listeners who don't know, this kind of incident would kind of resemble what's called a false flag terror attack, as would be my opinion.
Yeah.
And what a false flag terror attack, for people that don't know, is where you, like, let's say I go and break my neighbor's windows out. They don't know it's me, and I blame it on the other neighbor across the
street. Right.
And there's a long history of countries and nations doing this to get people into war. And considering we are a big power for a long time now, where the it seems like we'd be a perfect country to do that to if you could get away with it. And
absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely. If that was their. They almost pulled it off, but we stayed afloat. You know, we didn't sink, and we didn't know who was attacking us until after the torpedo boats came in. I mean, the planes were unmarked. The torpedo boats, they had the Star of David on them, so we know after that. But it took almost 45 minutes before we knew anything.
So we got 34 of your shipmates who were intentionally murdered by a foreign nation, and
yep.
I find this ridiculous to this day that people are still going to have the gulls to say it's anti-Semitic to discuss this incident.
It's been thrown in my face many, many times.
This is disgusting.
You say right away, you hate the Jews. I hate the Jews. You're nuts. It's a government that did dirty on us, and we want to tell the story. Want the story to be in the history books, just like the Vietnam vets and the rest, and Korea, and World War II.
Yeah.
This is, I'm not ashamed to tell what I did. You might be ashamed to tell what you did, but...
No, you guys should not be ashamed at all to tell this
no
story.
No way.
And speaking
they
of
try
which,
to make us. They try to make us ashamed, I'll tell you that.
Exactly. And could you elaborate on how we're 40 years into this? And like you said, I did notice, however, that we did have a congresswoman. I was just brought to light about this last night, that a congresswoman, Cynthia McKinney, had brought this up back in 2002, that as a 35 years after this.
Right.
That she had, and I guess she brought up your name in this, too.
She sure did,
and
it was unbelievable. I had contact with her for about this, and she wanted to put it in the record, and she did, and they threw her out of office.
Yeah,
they threw her out of office. I mean, the AIPAC
funded her opposition.
Got another woman to run against her, and that woman won, a Republican. And she stayed there for 2 years, and then Cynthia McKinney came back and won it back, and then she had some troubles, and she's not in office anymore. But she had the right intentions of trying to help us and trying to get some dialogue going and get some testimony taken, but they were brutal on her.
Yeah, well, she's pretty used to taking out. As far as politicians go, and I'm not going to make a solid judgment or opinion on her, but it seems to me, obviously, especially when she addressed Rumsfeld in 2006 about DynCorp and child sex slavery, it seems like she is one of the very few people out there standing up for things like the USS Liberty and the truth about it and trying to get justice for it, and I'd like to commend her, too.
Any congressman or senator that has ever come forward is not in office anymore. They've gotten rid of that person, and people that have helped us, great congressmen and great senators like Pete McCloskey and the name, there's been a ton of them. I mean, they're just, labeled right away. You're anti-Semitic, right away you're anti-Semitic, you're anti-Israel, and it's nothing, it's far from the truth. It's far from the truth, for God's sakes. All we got one mission. Our mission is to be able to testify before Congress or anybody in the government that will listen to us. The only one that has ever invited us to any recognition was George Bush the First there. He invited us to the White House and was supposed to come out and talk to us, and he never made it out to talk with us. He sent out John Sununu and Brent Scowcroft and wouldn't come out and see us. And that was the day of the Welcome Home for Desert Storm. I think it was 2000 or something like that.
Okay.
And all of us went, the USS Liberty survivors, we had a reunion. We all went to the White House in a Rose Garden. And we waited for him to come out, and he never came out.
You know, I find it kind of ironic that the only ship that was attacked by Israel happens to be a whole ship full of anti-Semites, you know, because that's what people... how ironic is that? They happen to get a ship full of anti-Semites, you know, because, you know, you guys want to criticize Israel so bad. Well, you know, I'm an American, and you guys were out there serving our country, and had 34 of your shipmates slaughtered. 174
wounded.
174 wounded. It was 85% of the people that were on that ship. And if it wasn't for you guys and your heroism to keep that ship afloat so that story would come out, you know, it's up to us out here. You guys have stepped out and let the story out. Actually, I want to get back to that, too, how...
You guys couldn't talk
about this till what, 82?
We were told within the next couple of days, we had Admiral Kidd that came aboard and took over the Court of Inquiry and started the investigation that very next day. And him and he worked with John McCain's father,
yep.
Admiral McCain, and they had orders to squash this thing from Johnson. And right from the beginning, he says so many words that he took his stars off of his collar. He says, I'm like one of you guys now. He says, just think I'm a regular guy and tell me what happened. So we told him. And after we told him what had happened to us and who attacked us and what we did and what we went through, he put his stars back on. He says, if anybody, anyone here, dare talk about this ever, it's going to be tough on you, your family, could cost you money or worse.
And now his son is running for president. Isn't that cute?
Well, Admiral Kidd. That was Admiral Kidd that said that to us. And we did statements. We wrote statements hoping that they would go into record. Nothing. They controlled that like crazy. And it's been told, you know, that that's not a lie. That was one of the officers, Captain Ward Boston, who is still alive, was one of the heads of the Court of Inquiry, and he has finally come out with an affidavit saying that they try to coerce us into testimony. They cut testimony out, and it was just a sham. You know, he knows it was a sham the way they treated us and how they hid this thing from the public.
So not only have you guys had to endure this event,
yep,
which was absolutely disgusting, but you guys had to endure 40 years of persecution of even speaking about...
Well, it was
until, amazing.
That's right. It's until 1982. Our shipmate Jim Ennis wrote a book called The Assault on the Liberty. And... he took a chance. He just had gotten out of the service himself after a 27-year career, and he was one that was on receiving end of one of the rockets that shrapnel broke his kneecap, and he got pretty well shot up, and he was lucky enough to get a lot of the papers and stuff before it was buried. And he wrote the book, and when he wrote the book, we were frightened. A lot of us were frightened until we got together for our first reunion in 1982, and we heard from one of the most courageous Joint Chiefs of Staff people, Admiral Thomas Moore. He had just retired himself, and he came out and he told us, he says, you got to just fight every day of your lives to get this and get Congress to listen to you people. And we've had wonderful people like him and many, many other people that have just stuck with us and tried to help us since our story has come out. And even that library, it was that was not easy to get. I mean, anything we've done with the either the library or a name on something dedicated to us has always been scrutinized. Either try to be held up or it's just that fact.
Ugh.
I could go on and on and on. And I won't.
Yeah, because
I'm sorry.
What I want people to visualize here is to ask themselves why. An American ship that went through this, and the soldiers that were on the ship, including yourself. I want my listeners to ask themselves, why do you think after 40 years of this incident have they been trying to suppress this? You know, just go ahead and ask yourself that. Look around you. You know, we got a AIPAC lobby group that's involved in a spy trial case coming up in April. We have no problem with key officials throughout our entire government holding dual citizenship to this nation.
Yep.
Obviously, the media is all pro this nation, and some big time religious leaders too that push this nation as just being holier than thou. And we have to ask ourselves, what, you know, think about this 40 years later, and these heroes, American heroes, that were completely assaulted, unprovoked assaulted by a nation that we still consider this day an ally.
Uh-huh. I ask every day to myself, you know, why the hell did this happen? And even though I know, I still ask, why did they do this? Why did the United States let this thing get out of hand? And why did they let themselves be embarrassed by this every day that we're alive? I don't have an answer.
Yeah, you can only come up with a pretty obvious guess
right.
of what's going on, and that's up to you guys, the listeners, to figure this out. And the man, the brainwashing that goes on to never criticize in this nation has got to stop.
Oh yeah,
it's got to stop. I mean, the people that just unquestioning faith. You know, this is a perfect crime. You know, I told people, I said, if I go out there and commit a heinous crime, I'm going to call myself Israeli, because then I'm going to call everybody anti-Semitic for accusing me of it. Yeah, you saw me do it. What else? I'm an Israeli. It's okay.
And I can't say.
You know, and it's... But what... Now, this library that you had dedicated to you, how did that get started off in...
Well, the town itself wanted to build a new library.
Okay.
They had a small, little, dinky little place, and the town was growing, and they wanted to move it over and add on to an old school building. And it was going to cost them probably about $1 million. So what they did is the town, instead of going for federal funding and that, they went to the business. There's a lot of businesses in their town at that time. And they went to the community, they went to businesses, and they did pledges. And they raised the money, and they said the one who raised or gave the most money would be able to name the library. So there was two brothers that had one heck of a business there, the Grobe brothers, G-R-O-B. They were industrialists, had their businesses right in town, and they gave almost $500,000 for this thing to be built. So they gave them the naming rights, and they had just finished reading the Assault on the Liberty. He says, why don't we name it the USS Liberty Public Memorial Library? And that's when all hell broke loose. Town started to get divided. People started coming in from Milwaukee, the Jewish community, and they started just picking this town apart like it was going out of style. And there are people, teachers, different people in this town that form different groups, one for, one against. I went and did a talk at their American Legion back in 1987 when they first were starting, about the name and who we were and what we were about. And the Milwaukee Journal was informed that we were coming, we were going to be there. So after it was all done, you know, they had questions from the audience and people that were there. And we found out that there was two reporters from the Milwaukee Journal there. And before they left, I went up to him. I said, "Do you want to ask any questions?" He says, "Oh, no." He says, "We're just here as spectators." I says, "Well, are you going to do a story on this?" No, he says, we're just looking. Next day, they got a big, wide story that we were there, and it's in the best interest that the town doesn't name it. I mean, they already took a stand against us. This is the Milwaukee Journal.
Ugh.
And
which is my hometown, by the way, people. That's where I grew up.
And we just went after them. You know, how dare you, you know, do this? And they started writing rotten reviews, and this one fella, I can't name a name, but he finally, after a while, he got transferred out because he was putting in garbage. You know, it was false, a lot of false stuff. And things like that had happened. It was unbelievable. And they tried to, anti-Semite the biggest donors, because, first of all, they were from Sweden, and they started picking up some of their past. And some of the other large donors and the town officials they went after. They made visits. I mean, the people came and made visits to the town leaders and said, you know, if you don't stop this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It was a shame, but it's one fellow who was running the town as president of the town council, Jim Grant. He was an ex-sailor, submariner, and he fought tooth and nail to get this thing going, and he put his family through hell, and himself through hell. But he fought tooth and nail, and he got this thing to go. It was him and some business people there. The lady who owned SEEK, she was Carol Schneider. She formed a group and for us. And it was amazing how the town did come together. But it was amazing to see such a small town split.
Wow.
It still baffles me. Well, you were up there, I guess. Didn't you go up there and see the library?
Yeah, I went up there on Saturday to go see the library. It's very nice. And I went and took some pictures of the memorial they had in the meeting room for you guys.
Right.
And, you know, to bring this up again, do you guys think this would ever happen to any other attacked ship? Do you think this happened with Pearl Harbor ships? Do you think this happened with the USS Cole? You know,
no.
Why is it the USS Liberty attack? Why is it that we give a pass to this? You know, why is it there's so much? I mean, you guys said if I'm not mistaken, did you say there was even, like, protests, right?
Oh, good God. There was, I came down and did a talk on, they had an outing, groundbreaking. And they wanted me to fly in and do groundbreaking with them as one of the representatives. And while we're having the groundbreaking and speaking, there's 50 people that were bussed in from Milwaukee, had pictures of the ship with lines drawn through it and, you know, saying, don't do the library, don't name the library USS Liberty. I was amazed. I mean, I was so taken back. I couldn't believe it. And I walked up to these people. Where are you from? Are you from the town? And we found out they're from Milwaukee. And it was amazing. American people condemning another American people that died for the service of their country and to save that ship. I find that very, 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 very bad. to this day. It's a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, it's disgusting. That's what it is. It's absolutely disgusting that people would even attempt to make an excuse for this. And I've heard some really silly reasons. And yeah, it's...
There is no reason.
There's none. There's no excuse for this.
Absolutely. They should have, even to this day, they should just let us go on record of what happened and put this damn thing to bed. So,
yeah, what exactly, as a veteran of this ship, as a survivor of this U.S. Liberty attack, what would you and your fellow shipmates like to ultimately see out of this whole event? I mean, as far as being exposed, breaking ties with this? I mean, what would you guys like to see as some form of justice for this?
Well, I would say the bulk of our people would just like to be able to put on record exactly what happened and have them investigate, have our country investigate it like it should have been in the beginning. So easy, so quick. And something that might never be done.
I have a chat room set up here, and one of the chat people wanted to ask: was there anything on the ship that was out of question, or that might have been classified, or something that might have been a threat? They're asking.
Nope. That was a very that ship was run by the CIA, the DIA, and the NSA. It was very classified. It was top secret. The ship was top secret. We had 47 antennas that we could bounce stuff off the moon and send it back. And we were one of about a dozen ships like that. So. We had every right to be where we were. There was nothing that was a threat to anybody. And the Israelis will bring it up, well, we were sharing information, and that's baloney.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely baloney, considering incidents like Jonathan Pollard, who were
Yeah,
I mean...
They want to name a square after him in Israel. I just read that a couple of weeks ago. They're taking down some name of something, and they're putting up the Jonathan Pollard square in Israel.
Cute.
Nice, huh?
So
nice.
Some more spits in our face as Americans.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, you know... Yeah...
I shouldn't talk about that, but damn it, that he was.
Well, it's a known crime, and it's been the guy's been convicted, and that case is closed. So that's a sealed fact that this guy was doing espionage to our country, and I believe it was the Department of Defense and transferring military secrets over. And it's like right now we have a case of Apex Spyring, which ties up a whole lot of big name people. One of them happened to be the Iranian advisor in Apex. That, which I think is quite cute, because obviously they're pushing us to go to Iran. But, yeah, I mean, I don't want to get you on any of them other topics, but I wouldn't want my listeners to know. I did put a video up on the site yesterday at prothink.org where I addressed a Wisconsin senator here, and I just had some simple questions regarding another event here that I'm looking into, and... And I brought up the fact that Fox News has said that their quote was, linking these Israelis to 9/11 is classified. I cannot tell you about these events because they are classified. And I thought that was great concern for question, considering the history of this nation. But, to get back to your U.S. to the USS Liberty event, now they can go to a website, ussliberty.org.
Right.
And you can research all day on there, and...
For days, there is just so much information. You know, it's everything that we have ever gotten from either the government or from our people talking or from people that were there is put on this website.
And for people that might be a distractor of this whole incident and might not side with what the truth is here, I asked them to do this. If anybody has any concern about this event or for any events in history, Well, let's go put this on live TV in an open forum debate and get people up there to discuss the facts. Let's see if they can do that. They won't, because you know what happens is if there's some truth that's to be hidden, that's where the ad hominem attacks come from, the slander comes from, the censorship comes from, and that's exactly what's been happening to you, and that's what you call hiding the truth.
Yippee-yo, you said it.
And yeah.
That's a fact. Your statement is a fact, yes.
And this is, man.
It makes you dumbfounded. It makes you mad, but you got to keep plugging along. You know, you're doing well at this, Mike. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it seems that this land that we call the home of the brave, land of the free, home of the brave, there doesn't seem to be too many more of them left, like yourself, that have been brave, that have stood up and fought for our country. And
think of all these poor guys, what they're doing over there now, you know?
Yeah.
I feel so sorry for them and their families. They don't need to be there.
Yeah, well, if they had any clue.
Yeah.
If they had a clue, some history and actually research some things. Some of them do, actually. I have quite a few good friends. Actually, one of them is actually a Jewish soldier that went to Iraq right after 9/11, came back, and I threw some issues in his face, and he was absolutely pissed.
Yep.
He was pissed. And, he did his own research. I just said, hey, look into this. What do you think? And he was upset with what he saw, and this is the thing. They want to hide this type of information from people.
And thank God there's people like you that will help us bring it out, believe me.
Oh, you know it, man. I'm only 32, man. I tell you what, I'm not going to let this slide, man. People out there who call themselves patriotic, God bless America, support our troops. I'm supporting my troops right here because I'm letting people know what happened to our troops. I mean, we can get into the whole topic of depleted uranium being used on our troops in Iraq right now. And just,
well, we've asked, over the years, we've asked the VFW, which finally had come out and done a resolution for us last year. But the American Legion, they'll have nothing to do with us. The DAV, Disabled American Veterans, they have nothing to do with us. And they shy away from us. Too hot of a subject. Can't talk about it. Even VVA, the Vietnam Vets of America, they have nothing to do with us. My local chapter here in Rochester, they accept me, but that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, it's. I find that in a lot of the other groups too, like the anti-war groups or the peace groups or the veterans groups, it's a pseudo-patriotism because, you know, if you're not willing to get out there and really stand on the line for some truth and justice,
right,
get out the way, you know. I keep telling these people, I try to talk to some of these peace groups in Milwaukee, and they don't want to hear it.
Nope.
They just want to fight an idea.
They have an agenda, and their agenda is an idea, and that's true. So very true.
Man. So this... So your shipmate Jim Ennis, Jim Ennis, and he wrote a book, The Assault on the Liberty. Now, is that book still available?
Still available, right through him. You can get it on the internet.
Okay, I'm gonna pick up a couple copies for some family members myself.
That's good. It's a pretty quick read. It's got pictures of even on the internet. It's got, God, I think there's about over 100 pictures of the ship, the way she looked after the attack and before the attack, and some of the injuries, and how they saved the ship with the shoring that was put up, because they put a torpedo on us that was 46 by 40 feet, and that's a hell of a hole. You could put a nice two-story home in the darn in there, and they had to shore that up. Where I was like 15 feet from where it had blown, and the concussion was unbelievable. Knocked us right down.
Yeah, I'm still, like I said, I was sitting there last night before we did the show today. I was talking to you, I was sitting there last night, and I was really trying to envision myself being out in the ocean. on a ship. I mean, this whole incident itself is scary, regardless of the politics involved with who did it and what's happened since then. But just the idea of you guys being on a ship and being attacked on almost a defenseless ship.
Yep. This is wild to me. Plus to have the life raft shut out, you know. That was amazing. And believe me, that is against the Geneva Convention, and they lied to this day, saying, oh, we didn't do it. Yes, they did. They did it. We have people, sets of people who've seen them systematically shoot up the last three life rafts and actually take one that's supposed to be on display in one of the museums in Haifa.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
That's a trophy.
Yeah, and then to sit here and to consider, you know, after this whole attack, you're thinking, wow, this is an ally too. And then on top, oh my gosh, you know, I look at this incident over and over again, and it gets me enraged, which it should for anybody. It should get you enraged to want to stand up and speak out about this, because I mean, just. You're on a ship, you're being attacked. Oh, then it's your ally. Oh, then your puppet president and chief of staff call back the support. Oh, then they block your signals. Oh, and then 40 years of it being hidden, and what would you say, about 25 of it that you guys have come spoken out and been attacked and persecuted for speaking about it.
Yep. Well, there's, I should mention, there's also a DVD out that you can get from the website. It's done by, the BBC.
Yeah.
What a wonderful DVD. They brought out a lot of information. They interviewed a lot of Israelis. They interviewed a lot of us. And they did one hell of a job.
They did you some justice on the story then, huh?
They really did.
Okay.
And there was another book, I think it's called Operation Cyanide. Peter Hunam, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author from Scotland, wrote it, and that's a pretty powerful book.
And as you know,
another view.
And as you know too, I'm also working on a film where I sent you guys the chapter two of the film where it's
I thought that was great.
Yes, yeah, 16 minutes long. In chapter two, I dedicate to you guys in the USS Liberty. I did
wonderful.
Wonderful. Thank you. And that'll also be coming out. The name of that film is going to be called Missing Links, and Chapter 1 gets into the Levant affair.
Ah, good.
And then Chapter 2 gets into U.S. Liberty, and we look at some issues on in 9/11 in Chapter 3, and then we go into the media on Chapter 4.
Great.
And, the
guys who have seen it are really, they really liked what you did, you know. You've done a real good job.
Because
you didn't embellish. You've taken what we have said and what is out there in print. And, I got a good one for you. We had our 40th reunion this year down in Washington.
Okay.
And we always expect the press to come, either to the cemetery or to our hotel. And we're pretty frank with them, you know. And we had USA Today that was there, skulking around, and he was talking to a few of the guys that actually didn't know, you know, they're one of the survivors, but they didn't know very much of really what has been done, what we're doing, and, you know, how we've went into finding a lot of this information. So I happened to overhear him talking, so I said, listen, one of his comments was, this has been investigated like 10 times already by the Congress, and this has been talked over through a multitude of investigations. So I finally straightened him out. I says, listen, this has never been investigated by Congress. Never, ever, ever has. And he just looked at me. I says, we got a statement on our website from the Librarian of Congress stating that there are no investigations at all about the USS Liberty from any Congress, Senate, anything. Yet they have enough guts to put the propaganda out that this has been the Liberty's been investigated 10 times by Congress and that. And I told him, I said, don't put it in your paper. I said, we're going to go after you. Sure enough, the next day, same old garbage. He put it in. Well, you know, we talked to the guys, and, you know, this has been investigated over seven times, and we had people writing from all over the country, and they could have cared less.
I also noticed you had there was an article right after your 40th year in the Chicago Tribune. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
John Crutzen did actually two articles, and was it ever good? I think we're talking about the same one, right?
Yeah, I believe so. It was a pretty multi-page spread about the U.S. Liberty.
Yeah, with John Crutzen. What a reporter. This guy's been working on it for years, and did he get it right? It's probably the best to this date that's ever been done investigating. He touched everybody and everything, and he left no stones left unturned, and he told it like it was. Excellent, excellent article.
Yeah, well, at that time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, since then, some of the stock in the Chicago Tribune has been bought out by the same interest that own the mainstream media television networks now. So that I would see how an article like that was able to make it out and actually speak some truth in it. And it's so good to see that kind of stuff going on.
It was amazing to us. You know, I remember talking to this guy and telling him, you know, our story. And he just put blinders on and went ahead and talked to everybody he could. And he just did a heck of a job. My hat's off to him. Oh, yes.
Yeah, he did a wonderful job. Now,
yes.
I want to just briefly get into something. Have you ever had... kind of get into a little more specifications of some of the attacks that you've had to endure speaking about this incident
over the years. I've been to a lot of different colleges, been to a lot of different veterans groups, and anytime that I am in, you know, they know we're coming. Especially, well, we did Boston University. Years ago, there was three of us from the Liberty that did it. We showed a film, the history film. There was a History Channel film, and which was done very well. And they started passing out flyers to kids as they were coming in, telling them not to go in because we were a bunch of anti-Semites. And calling the crew, us crew members, anti-Semites, we hate the Jews and all this other stuff. So I went out in the back and couldn't figure out why people were not coming in, and there they were passing this stuff out. I said, what are you people doing? So they, brazen as hell, told me, yeah, you're a bunch of anti-Semites, we're not letting people come in. I says, you're crazy. I said, I'll get the cops here to have you arrested. So I told him, I says, why don't you come in? Watch the film, hear us talk, and after we're done, if you don't like what we have said, you know, we'll do something to give you time on stage. Okay, so we went through our talk, we went through the film, people had questions afterwards, and these eight people who were doing this stayed to apologize after we were done.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That's a turn of events.
And they were from a young Jewish community group, campus group. And I says, all you have to do is learn. That's what you're here for. That's what you're in college for, aren't you?
You know what? You find that within Jewish communities, they've really been ingrained, and it's not really the Jewish community that is per se.
No, it's not their fault. No.
They've been so ingrained that any criticism on Israel or something like that is just an automatic spark in their head,
right,
to turn off any open-mindedness to investigate this stuff. And like I said before, so what a perfect platform to commit crimes behind is to hide behind these people.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
To commit crimes. And
we've turned a lot of people over the years. We really have. Just to listen to us and say, listen, I'm not an anti-Jew. Religion or ethnicity has nothing to do with it. There's two governments that screwed up here. The Israeli government, United States government. They let things get out of hand. We paid the price. Let us tell our story.
Yeah.
What would happen if it was a different country? What would happen if it was China? There would be no more China. What if it was the Arabs that did it? There would be no more Cairo or something. I mean, so you people are very lucky that you got away with what you got away with.
Yeah, you could say that again, because as an American that doesn't believe in tying interest in with any foreign nation, I mean anyone, that would have called for a desert storm, desert shield, yeah.
Right. Retaliation. But, again, it's the country we support, people we support. I believe in that support, even though what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had quite a hell of a life years back, and they're struggling for their survival. But it's nothing to do with us. That has nothing at all to do with the USS Liberty. It was the government that did it to us, not Jew, not ethnicity. No, it was two governments that screwed up big time, and they got to be big enough to come and let us tell our story.
Exactly.
That's it.
Wow, it's been an amazing story, I got to tell you that. And like I said, I've looked into it, and there's some things that I learned today that I didn't even know about. And again, for the listeners out there that want to go ahead and research up this more, I'll give you guys your website to look at so they can get your point of view, and that's usslibertycom.
And if you do put .com on there, it'll come up too, same way.
Okay.
Either or, it'll come up. And it's a lot of reading, and we do give some comments the other way too. We let the other people talk against us. We've put them in there. So, you know, you can pick for yourself.
Well, that's very admirable, you guys, especially under your conditions.
It's got nothing to hide. There's nothing to hide. It's such a shallow story, it's unbelievable. But it's a one-issue story, and all we want to do is be able to tell it and get it on record before we die and it's not there in history anymore.
Yeah, that'd be a shame.
Yep.
Well, hey, John, I really appreciate you being on the show. And
thanks for having me. I appreciate that very, very much.
Oh, no, thank you for everything you've done, including serving our country, including coming out and speaking out. And this is what real courage is about, is being able to come out and speak, no matter how ugly the truth is, to come out and speak about it.
I love this country, and I'm a big believer, and we got the best country in the world. And they'll do right. This could take a little time, but I think someday, God willing, they'll let us tell what happened.
Well, it's going to be up to people like myself and these listeners out there to look at this event and speak out about it. You know,
it'll take you people definitely, and I put my faith in that.
Well, John, is there anything else you wanted to let these people know?
Again, the book is available through the website, the DVD's there. There are other books that are also there. And please give us your support. Write your congressman if you feel like you can. Write directly to their home office instead of down there. And just tell them that you heard a story and you'd like to have us guys be able to testify to what happened. And please give us a fair shake. That's what we're looking for. That's all we're looking for, nothing more.
Exactly. So signing off today, John, again, appreciate you being on.
Thank you.
A hero of this country. And take care, everybody out there, and look at this incident. And like I said, usslibertycom. And have a good one, John. Appreciate it.
Take care. Thanks an awful lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.